3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious, rare in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So far we read God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Dear congregation, you may have heard people as you speak to them and they say something like, The Lord said to me, do this or that. Or you've maybe heard televangelists who say, The Lord has spoken to me, and if I don't raise $8 million by such a deadline, then I'm going to die, or something like that. And we take a step back and we pause and wonder whether the Lord has really said that. And that may even raise questions in people's minds, particularly unbelievers' minds, who hear supposed Christians speaking about the Lord has spoken to me and said, do this or do that, and then nothing comes of it, or there's certain things that don't seem to match and line up. Or I've had the experience also of going to a family and they had just lost a dear parent. As I was walking through past each of the children, I said to one of the children, "The Lord is speaking to us." And the individual, almost with defiance, said to me, "I will know when the Lord speaks to me." I was a bit taken back. I think I understood what he meant, sadly. His perception of the Lord speaking to him would be in such a way it would be without mistake, without question, it would be earth-shattering, and there would be no doubt about it. Now, the Lord can speak that way. But if that's the kind of criteria you're demanding for the Lord to speak to you, I wonder if that's why you're not hearing Him speak. When I think of the prophet Elijah, he has gone before the king and witnessed on Mount Carmel, and then he's sort of depressed and he goes off and he runs away, and then he doesn't hear God's voice and earth-shattering thunder and earthquakes, whirlwinds, but in the small, still voice. Is it perhaps you're not hearing God speak because you're not listening? Maybe even putting it a little more bluntly, you don't want to hear what God has to say. Well, this morning I want to turn to this passage in which we're going to learn something about how God speaks. Yes, it is from the Old Testament, and I'm going to have to clarify what it means in the Old Testament for God to speak and then draw out implications and what this means for us in the New. But I want to simply read a few words here from the passage I already read from 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. "And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" I want to simply consider this theme of hearing God speak. Hearing God speak. The first thing I want to establish this morning is that our Creator, our God, is a speaking God. If you read the Bible, the whole thing is about His speech. It's about His message, His words to His creatures, the people, the human beings after His image who were created. And when we come even to the center of this word, children, who is the focus of this word, really? Isn't it Jesus? And what is His name? John tells us at the beginning of the Gospel, "In the beginning was the Word." And that already is telling us some more significance about who our God is, who speaks to us, who communicates with us. God Himself, the triune God, did not need the creature. He does not need His creation for anything. He exists within Himself in complete and utter joy and peace and happiness and fulfillment. He is perfect God and glorious. And He communicates through His three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in utter fellowship, in utter unity, blessedness. But this God, His heart is revealed to us, is shown to us through the message He gave us, that He delights to communicate, also speak with His children, His creatures. And so, God, we see at the very beginning of the Scriptures, is telling us this truth. And you remember, children, we read there that Adam and Eve are in the garden, and it says God came, after they had sinned, walking in the cool of the day, the Word of God came. God was speaking. He came to speak with His children. Now, what happened to Adam and Eve? Well, they had already fallen. They had sinned against this God and they ran away from Him. They didn't like to hear His voice. Children, that's probably similar to us. If you've done something you know absolutely is wrong, and you're going to receive punishment for it, and all of a sudden you hear your name, you're outside playing on the swing set, Jonathan, or whatever your name is, come here. But the amazing thing is when God calls to Adam, it's Adam's own conscience that feels the guilt. And maybe with this parent who's calling his son Jonathan, he hasn't even seen what the child has done, but the child himself already knows something isn't right. When we come to this passage here in the Old Testament of Samuel, God is also speaking. There was difficulty, there was trouble in Israel at this time. We know the history. Eli was put in charge of speaking the word of God, in essence, to the people of Israel. He was like a pastor to this great congregation. And yet, he had failed to teach his sons the same message that he had heard from God. And what a calling for us this morning, parents. You have promised that you would teach your children and bring them up in the fear of the Lord. And one of those tasks is to teach our children to discern and to hear God's voice. Now, do you suppose, parents who are here and other parents, that you will be able to tell your children, this is God's voice, this is when you hear His voice, if you've never heard His voice yourself? If you are not yourself immersed in His voice, in His Word, drinking in, listening to what God is saying to you as a parent, how do you expect then to communicate this same Word, this truth, to your children? We see Eli here, though he had failed with his two sons, and they were going to be killed. Yet with this young Samuel, he discerns, this is God's voice speaking to him. When we think of the voice of God to Samuel here, we recognize, as it was said in this chapter, this was a vision. It was something extraordinary. All of the whole Word of God at this time was not yet revealed. God was still uncovering, unveiling Himself as to who He was, what His plan and purpose was in dealing with the human race. So at this time, He needs in a particular way to speak very clearly and very specifically. And so He sovereignly, of His own choice, determines He's going to speak to this young boy, Samuel. He could have spoken to Eli. But it seems Eli had already showed that he was not really listening as he ought to have been to God's voice. And then God is going to now come to this young boy, Samuel. Now in the Old Testament, we understand that God spoke in many different ways. We said He spoke as He's walking in the cool of the day in the garden. He spoke as visions and dreams. He even spoke through an animal once. Balaam's ass spoke God's word, as it were. And so God used all different kinds of methods and means in order to set forth His word. But the question is, now that we come to the New Testament, how is God speaking to us? And of course, we know, since we have His word, that He comes to us through His Son. In these latter times, God has come and He has dwelt on the earth some 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ, and He spoke the Word to us. And you begin to sense, I trust, what it would mean then when we do not hear Him. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That's what we read in this passage. He hadn't heard the voice of the Lord. It likely means he wasn't yet converted even, perhaps. He had been taught in the things of God. No doubt his mother Hannah had brought him up in these things. No doubt Eli had also taught him the things about the temple of God. But yet there was no personal relationship with the God who speaks. And so we too, though we may be baptized, though we may grow up in the church, and though we even make confession of faith, some of you haven't heard God speak. You don't know Him. You are still almost like Adam and Eve, who have this concept and idea of God. He's ready to pounce on you and destroy you. And so when you think of hearing His voice and anything He has to say, you're running in the opposite direction and hiding from what He's saying to you. We read, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We see that in this Old Testament passage already. Here is little Samuel, who at the advice of his foster father, or his spiritual father of Eli, when Eli tells him, it's the Lord, and this is what you ought to say to Him, speak, Lord, for Thy servant hears. Samuel must go back to bed and lay there in amazement. Think of the Almighty God speaking to him, a little child. Children, do you think God is speaking to you today? No, we aren't looking for these kinds of things that God used in the Old Testament. Those things are now past. All that God wants to say to us is found in His Word given to us. That's why He took so much care that what He wanted written is written. That's why it's so important we don't distort and take out certain things and leave in certain things according to our opinion. Because all of this is what God wants us to know. And so when we look here at Samuel, a little boy who had not yet heard the voice of the Lord, when he hears his name called, he responds. This is an important point. Every time we hear God's Word, it calls for a response. Because you cannot remain neutral under His speech. Because His speech comes with authority. His speech comes with power. And when we harden ourselves, when we turn aside from that Word and reject that Word, we're making the choice to say, no, I believe some other word, something else is more important than what God is saying. Or we come to hear His Word, and like Samuel, by the grace, and we know this is grace, that Samuel is able to say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Is this your response to the Word of God when it comes to you? And this is a very important matter, because when especially in preaching, the Word of God is proclaimed. When sinners are called to come to this God and to repent of their sin and turn to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and washing and cleansing in His blood, when the gospel is set forth, this is a call from God Himself. And it's not a call like you can think of an invitation. You maybe get an invitation from someone you really don't know to come to a wedding. Oh, well, I don't really know them, and I've got something else that night, so you don't decide to go. But God's call is more than an invitation. Please, would you please come to me? No. It's your Creator. It's the one who has made you. The one who seeks relationship with His own fallen creature. And the wonder of it is, He with this word accompanies it with power to our hearts. And He says, "Come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Why are you laboring and toiling on all the field of sin in your life? You find no true joy and no true satisfaction. Why won't you hear my voice and turn to me? Jesus understood the importance of hearing this word from the mouth of the servants of God. So clearly, in fact, children, you remember that parable, that story Jesus told of a rich man. He died. He ended up in hell. He realized his error. And for whatever reason, he wanted to go back and tell his brothers who were still alive about this place of torment so they wouldn't come there. And what does Jesus say? Jesus said, "They have Moses and the prophets." Remember, he's speaking in the New Testament. The New Testament's not written yet. So Jesus is saying, this man, your brothers, have the whole of the Word of God, the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets. And if your brothers aren't going to listen to him, to them, they're not going to listen even if somebody rose from the dead. That's how much value. That's how much Jesus understood of the Word of God. And now expand that and multiply it many times. We have the whole counsel of God, Old and New Testament. All that what God wanted said has been said to us. Maybe some things are hard to be understood. Indeed, no doubt, I don't understand it all. But the essential parts, the important parts, the necessary parts are all simple enough for a child as old as Samuel to understand. That means those of us who have grown older in years, who've been under this Word of God for so long, have heard God speaking for so many years. Imagine how much more your guilt and response to this word makes you stand before God condemned. And God indeed is still speaking to us today. Some would like to hear, I suppose, like Paul did on his way to Damascus, some voice from heaven. We would like to be able to say, well, unless I hear this voice as Samuel did, some vision, then I can't believe. But we need to understand that God is speaking through His Word, and particular through the preaching of the Word, like this morning. And that's why it's so essential that we don't minimize how important it is to come to the house of God and worship. Remember, too, what Jesus said. He is the good shepherd, and my sheep will hear my voice. I know my sheep, and they know me. You see, if we have come to hear the voice of Christ, if our ears are open, as Samuel was, and we begin to understand, God is speaking to me, maybe the first impression we get from this word is, we are dark and dirty and filthy. We need to be cleansed. But this word sets before us not our condemnation so much as when we hear we are condemned, it sets forth the truth that there is a forgiveness possible. There is a cleansing which we can receive. It's pointed to us this morning. So not only this morning is God speaking to us through His Word, we see it right here in the sacrament. The simple water that was sprinkled upon these children tells us, it points us, it speaks to us that we need our sins forgiven. And even the simplest child can understand that truth. When you're dirty, when you come from outside, you're filthy, mom says, it's time for a bath. In the water you go, and you wash off. And that picture throughout the Scriptures is painted for us. Your sin has made you unclean. Your unbelief declares that you are living in rebellion against God. You are guilty. Confess, own up to this truth. And seek forgiveness with this God who is an abounding fountain of grace and mercy towards sinners. Do you perhaps excuse yourself by saying, well, God hasn't spoken to me. I haven't heard a voice from heaven like Samuel. Well, I ask you, have you read this word ever in the light of Samuel? Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Or do you just turn to this word and you know deep within your heart you really aren't wanting to change? You really have no desire to leave your path of sin. And when God calls you to turn within your heart, your answer is no. God is speaking to us also this morning through His Word. God speaks to us also when we pray. When we turn to Him in prayer, we call out to Him and ask Him to teach us, ask Him to open our eyes. This is really what, in a sense, Samuel's response was. Speak, Lord. I am listening. I pray, Lord, speak. Have you come here this morning with that desire, that prayer, that speech to God? Lord, I need to hear Thy voice. I need to hear what You have to say to me. I'm listening. Or don't you believe God is, and that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? This little boy, in all the simplicity of his thinking and understanding, listened to this foster father, Eli. It's the Lord, Samuel, who is speaking to you. And when He speaks again and calls your name, this is what you say. Parents, when your children growing up, and more than likely, to one degree or another, if you know your children and you've spent time with them, they have these times and moments when they've been on their bed at night. They can't go to sleep. They're struggling. They know they are sinners. They know that there is a God. They know they're going to have to die. And they're dealing with all of these things. And what do you, as parents, say to them when they come to you with these questions? Are we like Eli? The Lord is speaking to you, my son, my daughter. Ask the Lord to speak, and whatever He says, you will do. Is that the way you come to the Word of God when you read it? Do you believe this is the Word of God, and do you read it with that in mind and with that Spirit of Samuel, speak, for I am listening. Now God can use others too. God can use other people bringing this word, and it will prick our hearts. Perhaps you have spoken to someone at some point in time, and when you went away from that conversation, you realized that what they said was true. It convicted you. And it's the voice of God through His Word, when it's His Word that's brought, that is convicting you of what was said. What do you do with that conviction? Are you listening to what the Spirit of Christ is prodding and pricking in your heart and saying? God speaks through many different ways also today. Not only His Word, but in His providence, in various illnesses, in various deaths that we witness in our community as well. Sometimes we even say God is shouting to us. But do we hear? Here with Samuel, the people had departed from the Lord. And the message that Samuel is going to hear from God is not going to be a pleasant one. Actually, God says to Samuel, the message I'm giving to you that I'm going to do is going to make the ears of both everyone who hear it to tingle and ring. So solemn a sound this message was that he received. And so when Samuel gets up in the morning and he's heard this message from God, he is somewhat afraid of what Eli is going to say. But we begin to see how God, in speaking to Samuel, is teaching him to not be fearful. To stand fast upon the Word of God. Because if you read the rest of the life of the man of God, Samuel, he was confronted in many ways with this nation who was departing from God, and he had to stand strong. And God was already here as a child, teaching and training and shaping him for this purpose. And so when Eli asks him, what was it the Lord told you? And if you don't tell me, the Lord do so to you and more. Eli makes this request and Samuel speaks the Word of God. Are you afraid to speak the Word of God? Maybe some of you, teenagers too, you go off to school, you go off to university and college, and maybe some of us who are older, we have heard this Word our whole life. How valuable is it to us? How precious? So that when someone else speaks to us against this Word or questioning this Word, do we have the courage? Do we have the strength to respond as Samuel did, even in the face of being rejected, to speak what God has to say? Are we obedient to the Word that God brings us? Sometimes when you read the Bible, You hear what some people respond to God and what He says, and you almost shudder. How could they say that? Even some of God's children. You think of Jonah. He's sitting there under this gourd. It's given him nice shade and he's relaxing. And the next thing you know, God is sending a worm and the gourd dries up and the leaves are gone and he's in the basking sun and he's complaining really to God. We ought to remember that our whole attitude and disposition of heart should be, speak, Lord, in whatever our circumstance of life might be. And so Calvin says, our heart and mind must be composed to a suitable frame, which is becoming for those who would enter into God's presence. We should seek a mind clear of all earthly thoughts and seek to lift them up to God who is in heaven and in glory. And we should worship the Lord, we should adore Him, and we should praise Him. You see, if our lives, even as we come here this morning, have been filled with all that's in this world until 12 o'clock last night, and we fall into sleep, and then we wake up this morning and think to come to hear God's voice, when all the echo and the sounds are still reverberating from last week. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He's ready, Samuel is, to listen. He's ready to obey. He comes into this bedroom in this night and he's just ready to receive it. Is that how you come to worship God in His house? Whatever God comes to you on Sunday and during the week as you open His Word to listen and to say, whatever it is, by Thy grace I am willing to do. He adds this in his, Calvin does in his Institutes, as we come before God in prayer, he says, we should come reverently. As we come to His Word, realizing who He is, come acknowledging our dependence on the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to teach us through the Word. We should come with a sincere sense of want and desire to hear the Word. We should come with a repentant heart. We should come humbly into the presence of God. And we should come in the only name by which we will be heard, the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And we should come with the confident hope, not only that God will hear us, he says, but that He will speak to us as well. Is that how you pray? How I pray? Is that how I come to the times when I open this Word and I begin to read? And I say, that's my heart. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Imagine having a son. And he comes to you and he says, Dad, whatever you say, I'm listening. Son, it's time to clean your room. He goes off, but he doesn't listen. And the next day he comes back to his father. Dad, whatever you have to say, I'm listening. Go clean your room. How many times have you heard God's clear, simple gospel? And yet you suppose that you're saying to Him, I'm listening. Samuel heard a difficult word. This must have been very hard for Samuel to tell Eli. But he must. He does. He is made a willing servant of God. No longer does it matter what will happen to Eli, even to his sons, but he must speak, he must obey the Word of God. And so when God comes in our life and He begins to speak, then what my friends are going to say, then what everyone else is going to say about what happened to me, all of that begins to fade away. It really has no significance. It has no importance anymore because God, the Creator of all, and the One who is able to ransom and save me from my own self-made darkness and death, has spoken. And I will listen. He is made a willing servant. Speak, Lord, Thy servant is listening. Children, are you hearing God's voice today? He is speaking to us through His Word. He is calling us and says, I will, through this very baptism as well. You were baptized when you were young. You have this same water. And God is saying the same thing. He's using a man to describe what He, through His Word, has already said to us. And what He's already said to us is, I separate you apart from all the rest of the world. You are to be my people. You are to be dedicated and consecrated to me. You are to serve and fear and worship me. And I will be for you beyond what you could even imagine or think. Come to me. be washed in the blood of my Son. Turn to me. Turn from your sins. Do you expect perhaps to hear some kind of other voice from heaven? That's what some seem to be waiting for. I know when God speaks in our hearts, it can be as if someone is standing right there and speaking a voice. We hear it with clarity. We're convicted of its truth. And we almost could say, well, that was so powerful. That was so real. It was almost as if someone spoke to me. You can hear people say that. And it's true. But God also comes with a small, still voice. And He leads, especially with children. And He guides and He teaches through the mouth of parents and preachers. This is the way to walk in. God has said about this Word of God which He has given us, it's the record which He has given of His Son. And the problem is not with the record. The problem is with our hearing. We are born deaf. And beside that, we have put our fingers in our ears so we will not hear what God has to say, His speech. There's nothing wrong with the Word that comes to us. Our problem is we don't have a spirit like Samuel, which says, Lord, I'm listening. What am I to hear? Speak, for your servant is listening. Have you heard God's voice? Are you obeying? Have you come to Him as a sinner, as one who is needing of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from sin? You know, Samuel, we read in this passage, didn't yet know the voice of the Lord. He grew into that knowledge. We read at the end of this chapter, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh and revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Samuel grew in his knowledge, in his hearing of the voice of God. And the same is true today. The first time the Lord speaks through His Word and we really pause and we really, as by His Spirit takes it home to our heart, we hear it, we're convinced of it, we're convicted it's true, and we obey, we begin to hear His voice more and more. And as we turn to this Word, as we read this Word, as we study His Word, we begin to hear the voice of Christ in this Word more and more. So what a task we have as parents. To continually set before our children this Word. To instruct them from this Word and to teach our children when they hear this Word, it is the voice of the living God. And children, you see here in this history, you don't have to be 30, 40 years old before you can come to fear God and hear His voice. God is calling you. That's why He separated you, even as a child, like we see these children this morning. He separates you out to be His children. And He speaks to you. All the world is speaking in your other ear. It's yelling at you. There's more fun to be had over here. There's more pleasure to be gained in doing this. Don't you see you have your whole life ahead of you? You can wait to serve and hear the voice of God till later. Later. But God says, no. That's the lie. We need to hear God's voice today. And He is speaking to us. Why will you die? Why will you not turn to me? Speak, then, is what our response should be. Speak, Lord, I am listening. And let me ask you a question. Do you suppose that if you, like Samuel here in this history, are convinced that God speaks through His Word today, and He's still speaking. That when you come to Him, and in all sincerity you say, Lord, I am listening. Speak. That He's going to be silent. I know there may be some. I have spoken to you and heard you say, I sought the Lord once, or many times. I even for a long period of time was seeking Him. Seriously. But He never answered me. He never spoke to me. What were you looking for? What did you expect? When you heard this word and what it said to you, were you like Samuel? Speak, Lord, I'm listening. I'm ready to do whatever it says. So when this word, as you were in that time period in your life, you were thinking you were serious. You were serious about whatever God said. You were serious about praying and, Lord, show me. Lord, speak. It seemed to pass by. But you were hearing His word. But were you obeying? Were you actually listening to what He was saying to you? Or if you're honest with yourself, if you really examine your own heart, you begin to realize when the choice came down to serving God the way He said to do that, and what He calls you to do, and to what was set before you on the other side, then really what your heart was inclined to was this. And God is saying, that's what sin is. When you choose to do what you think is best and you don't believe what I said is best. And so what we all ought this morning, all, not just some, we're all in the same category here. We need to hear God's voice. And we need to hear what He's saying to us. And our heart ought to say, as Samuel, Lord, speak. I'm listening. Is that what your heart is saying to you today? Because we can leave this place and very quickly other voices and other sounds and other things can take over our mind again. But will you come back to this truth that your God and Creator speaking through His Word and calling to you even today? Turn unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. That's what the Lord says. That's what His speech is. Hear my Son. Listen to Him. That's what God Himself says from heaven. And when we hear His voice, we will live. Listen to what Peter says about this word. He says, and remember, Peter was with Jesus. He walked with Him and talked with Him for 3 years. And then towards the end of that time, he saw something which nobody else hardly would ever imagine to have seen. A couple of the disciples and Jesus there on the mountain, and they see Moses and Elijah and all the glory of God. And listen, Peter saw this, and this is what he says after when he's writing his letter. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Peter says, this is what we saw. We were eyewitnesses. We haven't made some kind of fable. We haven't invented some kind of story. But he says, for He received from God honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him, this is on the mountain, from excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. So Peter's saying, I heard the voice of God speak. This is my Son. Hear Him. And then he says, now we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter's writing to people who are scattered abroad, and he says, you have a more sure word, a voice, than what I heard on the mountain. whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, that you would listen, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Amen. Let us pray.